St. Gabriel the Archangel, pray for us. He went up in secret. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, yesterday, children, Father Lectoranda told you what sounded to me to be an extremely interesting fairy tale, rather long as fairy tale goes, with different tests, and then there's a nice lesson at the end, and I'm sure it held all of your attention. We have that kind of a story today, except, of course, it's not a fairy tale. It's actually in the Bible, and these are things that really happened. Amongst the characters today would be a dragon, so you know it would be a good story, because you have a dragon. And then you have a den, that means a cave, that's full of lions. And the lions are hungry, and they're interested in eating somebody. And are we all looking at the bishop? And not at the boy? Good. Simon, are you sitting up? Look at the bishop. That's the spirit. Well, the lions are hungry and they want to eat Daniel, and he's a prophet. And there's another prophet that comes too, and his name is Habakkuk the cook. Curious name, isn't it? And when he wasn't being a prophet, he was being a cook, and he prepared some porridge. I think porridge figures in a fairy tale, doesn't it? I think that's in Goldilocks, if I'm not mistaken. Porridge, and then he's bringing the porridge to some workers in the field. They're bringing in the harvest, and he's putting some bread in it. And an angel comes to him and tells him that he has to go to Babylon. And we'll hear about how there's sort of like an angelic airline service and how he does that. It's an interesting story. But first of all, we have to think about hiding. We're thinking about hiding all this week, aren't we? Why is that? Do you remember from Sunday? Because our Lord hides himself, doesn't he? All the statues and the crucifixes are all hidden from us because our Lord had to hide himself because the Jews wanted to kill him. He was going to let them do it, but not until Good Friday came. So he had to make them wait a little bit longer till they could do their wicked deed, which would, of course, save the world. So the gospel story starts today with some relatives. Relatives usually mean well, but sometimes they can be a little troublesome. As in today's gospel, it's our Lord's cousins, and his cousins are giving our Lord some free advice, and they're saying, look, if you want everybody to hear about you, you have to get yourself known. So you better start a Twitter account and send some tweets out, and you better get a public relations man and do glossy pictures of yourself and things like that, so everybody knows who you are. And our Lord just listened, and he never said a word to them because they didn't understand about him being God and what God wanted his son to do on earth. So then he says, well, I'm not going up, meaning I'm not going up to Jerusalem for the feast day of the tabernacles. That was actually in the fall of the year. With you, I'm not going to go up publicly, so everybody can see me, and then the Jews would try to kill me too early. I'm going to go up quietly, in a secret way, when nobody knows. So that's what he did. He waited. It was all quiet. And then he went up, and he went to Jerusalem for the feast day, children, because to give us a good example that on the feast days, for example, like Holy Week, we're supposed to go to church to observe all of the holy days. And we're supposed to worship our Lord in his temple, which is his church now. So our Lord always gives us a good example. And then when our Lord goes there, and he hears all of the people that are talking about him behind his back. He's not there. And some are saying that they believe in him, and others are saying, no, I don't believe in him, and this is why. And that's the gospel. But our Lord never comes out of hiding. And our Lord will be hidden, won't he, until Good Friday we'll see the crucifix, and Holy Saturday for Easter we'll see all the statues again when all the bells ring and the lights come on and our Lord rises from the dead. Now, the epistle is really quite the story. In the epistle, the Babylonians, who are pagans, are angry at Daniel, the prophet of the one true God, because he slew the dragon, meaning he killed the dragon. And the dragon was, of course, a demon, a devil, that the poor people were worshiping. And they wanted revenge on him. And the king, he was Daniel's friend, but he was weak. as kings sometimes are, and he didn't stand up for him as he should have. So he had to go along with the plan of throwing Daniel into a lion's den, and the lions hadn't been fed anything for several days, so they were peckish. They were quite hungry, actually. They had a good appetite. And the enemies of Daniel, the pagans, they thought he would be eaten up right away. Only he wasn't, because God worked a miracle to preserve the life of Daniel the prophet. And he not only did that, but this shows how our Lord loves us and he takes care of us. Someone got you lunch today, didn't they? And after Mass and everything is over, you'll have something to eat. And then tomorrow, all we have to do is go into Helfta Hall, and everyone, including all of our guests who are here, they all get some lunch, because God takes care of us, usually through somebody else, our parents or our teacher. Mr. Litarsky is doing the lunch for tomorrow, but somebody always takes care of us, children. So while Daniel's in the lion's den, and the lions are hungry, and they don't get to eat him, Daniel is hungry too, because if you didn't have any food for several days and you were surrounded by ferocious lions, that would give you an appetite. So what happens? An angel means a messenger from heaven. An angel comes to this prophet, but he's a part-time prophet, Habakkuk the cook, and he's cooking for people if he's not busy prophesying for God. And he says to him, take the porridge. It's a big bowl of porridge. And he's crumbling up some bread into it to sort of finish the dish. Take the porridge to Daniel in the lion's den in Babylon. And he says, well, Lord, he calls the angel, Lord, I don't know where the lion's den is. And I've never even visited Babylon. How would I find him? Because they didn't have GPS or anything like that. There wasn't any way for him to figure it out. And the angel, because he could, because angels can do many things that we can't do because they're very powerful. The angel, instead of arguing with him or saying, well, you know, you could look it up in the map or you could ask for directions and just get going now. He doesn't do anything like that. Plus, he doesn't want the porridge to get cold. He wants to be nice and warm still. Porridge is like oatmeal. It's a good thing to eat because it sticks with you. So he doesn't want it to get cold, so the angel simply does this. This is the most remarkable thing. I'm going to take off all of my hats so that I can show you. He picks up Daniel by the top hair on the top of his head, and holding him that way by one hair, he flies him to Babylon. And they just arrive there. And he sets him down, safe and sound, Habakkuk the cook with his big bowl of porridge, and Habakkuk cries out. He leans over the lion's den, that's sort of an open pit, and he says, Daniel, come and get the lunch that our Lord has sent you. And Daniel thanks Almighty God, and he says his grace about how thoughtful he is that our Lord not only preserves us from being eaten up by lions and things, he even provides us lunch. He takes care of all of our needs. How good our Lord is. Those kinds of things, children, we should remember, and we shouldn't keep them a secret. We should remember to tell others when our Lord does something special for us, and we must always tell him our thanks. How do you say your thanks? That's the grace that you say before meals. Never eat a meal without saying your grace, even if you're all by yourself, because, of course, you're not. Who else is with you? Your angel guardian. He's with you. And so he reminds you, say your grace and thank God. Now, today is the feast day of a very great angel, one of the four great ones, called an archangel. And his name is Gabriel. And his name means the power of God. And Gabriel is the angel messenger that's sent to very important people for very important things. So, for example, he's the one that comes to the Blessed Mother. Tomorrow we'll have that feast day on the Annunciation. And when we say our Angelus, that's the angel of the Lord who declared unto Mary. That's Gabriel. Well, Gabriel also went to visit our prophet Daniel in the Old Testament, and he said, Daniel, you are a man of desires. And then he told him about when the Messiah would come to save God's chosen people. And he went to Mary, the Blessed Virgin, to tell her that she was chosen to be the mother of the Messiah, our dear Lord. That's Gabriel. He's the strength of God. When Mary saw Gabriel, she was afraid, as you would be too if you saw a great, glorious, big, powerful angel. or an archangel. But if we are doing God's will and saying our prayers, there's nothing ever that we have to be afraid of. Angels come so that we can know what God wants us to do. Because while sometimes in life we have to be hidden, and even God's plan is sometimes hidden, we're not sure. Nevertheless, if we pray, God will send a message to us so we know what God wants us to do, whether it be to be brave in the lion's den or to kill dragons, or whether it be to bring a nice bowl of porridge to some poor prophet who's stuck there in the lion's den and has nothing to eat. God always has a way of getting us the message as to what he wants us to do. As we're getting ready for the great feast days, children, for next week, for Holy Week, let's pray to our guardian angel so that we can know what we should do and do it just as well as we possibly can, and we can continue to hear all of the wonderful stories about our holy faith. God bless you.